like a sound, like light fading into deep space, like ice cream.
This is Paloma, and today I'm here with Andrew from the Pink Snowflakes. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Sandy stars and sparks and eyelids flicker while driving headlights fast asleep. Fading fast into yesterday's ice cream.
What are you wearing?
Well, let's see here. I'm wearing a gray undershirt with paint all over it, and I've got a dark blue t-shirt on top of that, and then I've got some tan pants with paint all over them, and then I've got my grubby tennis shoes with paint all over them, and I got my hair with little speckles of pink, and it's got paint in it. That's basically what I look like. I'm painting a mural on a wall, basically. That's what I'm doing.
So the first thing I'd like you to do is give me a little background on the Pink Snowflakes.
Well, originally, I'm born and raised in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I had made a bunch of songs up a long time ago and just kind of held up in my parents' basement. Practicing them and working on them and everything, and listening to a lot of my favorite bands. It was kind of my little sanctuary. Was my parents' basement. We had like a little separate apartment down there where there was like a stove, a kitchen, a little bar, bedroom, everything. So I just basically in high school and a few years out of college, I just kind of stayed down there and just kind of worked on stuff and went to see my friends' bands and things like that. I never really thought to myself that I was going to do something. But then when I made the decision to travel, to come out to Portland and see what I could do out here, I just decided that that's what I wanted to really, really, really concentrate on. At that point, I had no focus, didn't really have anything. So I just kind of had to start everything from scratch when I came out here. And decided not to join anyone else's band. I just want to do my own thing. And that's kind of where it started. But, I mean, I got started pretty late. I mean, I was already, 20-something when I decided I wanted to do something. And then it took a bunch of years for the next phase, and then a bunch of years in the next phase. But basically...
So what are you now, like 60?
I'm 60. I'm in my mid-30s, but I think it's never too late, especially if you have that mindset, you want to do something and, you make that your goal or whatever. I don't think it's ever too late because, your brain will keep you young if you just think that way.
Definitely.
So anyway, that's kind of the thing I was on. And when I got to Portland, I bought a 4-track and I just started recording my songs, and at first I thought I wanted to maybe just do a solo thing, like it just was me, but I carried on this name that an old girlfriend called me one time. She called me Claude, and I had this dragonfly thing already, so I started calling myself Claude Dragonfly, and I thought maybe I was going to be Claude Dragonfly, maybe that was what I was going to do, and I started doing all these like more experimental things where I would play with Wurlitzers and organs and guitars and have them feeding back and just doing a bunch of noise, basically, and not having any real purpose but just to make noise and just to be, kind of retarded and see what happened with that. I had some friends come over one time to the house I was at, and I played them some of the stuff off the 4-track, and they said, wow, this stuff is interesting. This is pretty cool. You should stay on this idea or whatever, So I kind of went a little bit on that tangent for a while, and then I realized I really love pop music. I really love, I'd love to be a songwriter. I'd love to just actually make songs. And at that time, you know, I was way into the Flaming Lips and other bands. Somebody introduced me to Sparkle Horse and some other bands, and I thought, well, you know, if they can do that sort of thing and make that kind of music, you know, I was like, I've got similar ideas, and I was always really attracted to the songwriters that had thought like more childlike thinking, you know, took a different approach to, you know, how you view things, you know, like more of the Syd Barrett school of, you know, music kind of thing. So from there, I just kind of started forming this idea in my head. I didn't know it was going to be called the Pink Snowflakes yet. At first, I was just going to call it Claude Dragonfly, and then I thought that was going to be more of a solo thing. I didn't like that idea. And then I found this drummer. Her name is Catherine. And then I asked her, what about the name The Pink Snowflakes? And she thought that was a great name, and it kind of stuck at that point. But I remembered also that The Pink Snowflakes was this really heavy LSD that was going around Ann Arbor, Michigan at the time. And I thought, what a cool idea to have a psychedelic kind of sounding band and have this name, The Pink Snowflakes, which could either in someone's mind mean something really safe or, you know, harmless, or it could be this really heavy trip thing, or it could be, you know, it could be whatever you want it to be, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of stuck. And then, that's kind of where that came from. And, I just kind of had an agenda after that to make the music I really wanted to make. And, which was a little combination of experimenting with noise and feedback and different things that I really liked already, and then put it more into a pop context. And I was like, gee, what bands do that? And I was like, well, the Flaming Lips do that. There's certain 4AD bands that do that, and there's bands that are doing that sort of thing. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to keep these songs to myself for a while and work on them, and, you know, as long as Catherine doesn't, you know, go do something else with somebody else, you know, we'll work on this stuff. And she stuck with it for a while. And I mean, I went through lots of people for a while, because I think that's just what songwriters go through, because mm-hmm. it's kind of your ego at first. And they're kind of like, oh, okay, it's this guy's trip, you know? And, but I had a definite plan of what I wanted to do. And, so either people gelled with it or they didn't. And then finally the right people came along, and I was able to go a little bit further with it, and I found some guitar players that, you know, could do things that kind of reminded me of the noise and feedback of like earlier Flaming Lips albums and things like that, you know, not totally,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, kind of in that vein of that thing that I wanted to do. And so then just little by little things started coming together. We play shows, and then, you know, somebody would think it wasn't going anywhere, and then they would drop out. And then I'd have to, you know, keep it going. So I would find people, and, you know, this went on for years. And then finally, I found the right people now. And, you know, it feels solid. Tom, my guitar player, just does some really incredible stuff. And I really like his usage of slide and all his effects, and, you know. So I think I'm at a good point right now.
If I could wrap some household objects in aluminum foil, which I would then nuke in a microwave, the result of which would be the pink snowflakes, what would those household objects be?
A fork? A sponge? What if there was a can of pink spray paint?
You could do that. That's a semi... That's a household object.
There's a lot of spray paint around my household. So, and I usually have cans of pink. So,
yeah, and that could be really fun to put in the microwave.
Okay, so a fork, sponge, and pink spray paint.
Pink spray paint, perfect. If I ran an AV cable from your brain to a fancy multimedia projector,
What would I see and hear on the screen?
You'd see a little bit of that movie. I don't know if you saw that movie with Joe Strummer, that movie Straight to Hell. They're all dressed, the Pogues are in it too, and they're all dressed up as outlaws, and they're all running around the town shooting each other. But anyway, it came out in like the late 80s. There's a great soundtrack to it. But anyway, I see a little bit of that going on. Everyone's running around and just really confused on coffee. Everyone's drinking coffee in this movie and smoking tons of cigarettes. I don't smoke anymore, but I mean, I just remember all the slugging coffee and just this chaos. Okay, there's chaos, lots of chaos. But within the chaos, I also see the movie, I can't think of the name. It's a movie, it's all visuals, and it's just these really pretty visuals, but it's all this like stop animation, or what do you call it, time-lapse film kind of projections and things like that.
Does it have a one-word name that's, oh God, what is it called?
There's a movie called Baraka, and that was one of them. It just had this amazing imagery in it. And also it did show a lot of chaos and all the weird, they put a lot of weird scenes next to each other, like, and you know, one scene, some, you know, you see some situation that looks really bad, and then there's another situation that's really, you know, just really pleasant and beautiful. And I think it's just kind of a mixture of these things constantly at, you know, kind of battling each other kind of thing. I think that's what's going on.
Very good. So if I went to a Pink Snowflake show, what would you hope that I would come away with?
I think you would come away with these guys are definitely, you know, they definitely did their homework as far as what they feel, you know, they feel will grip an audience and kind of pull them into this kind of this random chaos, basically. That's kind of what I picture. Is there's stuff going off. It's on a very lower scale of maybe something of the Flaming Lips, but still there's that urgency and that spirit to try to make you feel slightly on your toes, slightly uncomfortable, not uncomfortable, but like, you know, you're not totally at ease. You don't know what's going to happen next, kind of thing. That's kind of what. The Pink Snowflakes is kind of this thing I picture where it's like it's the radiation, it's like radiation. It's like all the really weird, dark, negative stuff, but also it's this really pretty stuff. And that's kind of what I picture it being.
All right, very good. If you could wake up tomorrow and discover that something you believed was false was actually true, what would you want that to be?
I was going to say something about the situation right now in the world, but, I mean, it's totally true. So,
yeah, that's not false.
Yeah, there's no...
It's false that it's not true. That makes sense.
There you go. I just can't think of that right now. I don't. Sometimes I think I'm in a dream. Anyway, sometimes I think that everything I see in front of me and everything that's presented to me is in some form something that I've created in some way that I am kind of navigating my way through this virtual reality game. And you know, in this game, I play a painter and I play a musician. And I, you know, I go through these motions and things. And sometimes I think I'm going to, you know, blink my eyes and all of a sudden I'm going to be in a totally different place, you know. And sometimes I just look at reality that way. Sometimes I'm like, things aren't really what they are, you know. I've read lots of, you know, I was really big into conspiracies and things like that. I was really big into, you know, the Illuminati and all the government stuff and all that stuff, you know. And I know that there's a hidden agenda in the world and things like that, and you know, there's always bad people trying to put you down and stuff. And I always think that, you know, there could be this you know, time where things get really, you know, really good, and you know, we don't have to worry about that stuff. And I'm always thinking, you know, that's part of the dream.
And maybe like that's reality. True in someone else's reality.
Yeah, exactly. I want to paint a bleak picture or anything, but sometimes I just think about that, and I'm like, well, you got to just make the best of what you can, mm-hmm. With your time and everything, and just a lot of affirmations that like once again, a band like the Flaming Lips, where you got the front man, basically saying, we know everything's fucked up, but mm-hmm. And that's what we sing about, but also we sing about these other things. And the thing is, it's important, I think, with music, and why I do it too, is the fact that you can, it's your way of kind of getting on, just kind of being part of the collective mm-hmm. consciousness of people saying, we know we can't honestly change anything about it, but we can all at least agree that things are fucked up.
And we can make the little time that we have a little bit better.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I tend to think I'm in a sitcom.
Yeah?
That's what I'm pretty well convinced that I live in a sitcom, and that I'm just waiting for the channel to change, and it just doesn't change. And people are watching me laughing.
Right, it's like that I saw that movie, that Jim Carrey movie. It was Jim Carrey,
what was that called?
Somebody's movie.
Yes, but he didn't know it.
He didn't know it. And sometimes, and I remember my mom calling me one time and telling me about that movie and how it spooked her out, because she feels like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. It was
I can almost hear like the taped laughter in the background when things are happening.
The canned laughter.
I can hear it.
Is it the Brady Bunch one? That one where like you got the canned laughter, and there's that one guy who's always a little bit louder than everyone
uh-huh.
else.
Yes, yeah. And there are always sound effects, always womp 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 womp, things that are just really sad. Yeah. But anyway, so if the channel ever changes, then who knows what's next?
Yeah, exactly.
What was the last song besides one of your own that was stuck in your head?
Oh, just recently, Riding to Work in the Year 2012. I've been singing that song yesterday and today.
Did they play that?
Yes, they did.
Oh, cool. Okay, because, they played it in Vegas. It was another one that brought me to tears.
Yeah, no, it was really good, and Wayne, had a little monologue with that song, too.
Of course.
That they, they haven't played it in 10 years, and it was a very emotional time for him, and, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, I hate to ask genre questions, but I think that the listeners like to hear the answers to them. I mean, what's drawn you to psychedelic rock? Like, why this genre?
Because it's the easiest genre to communicate your whacked out ideas to people who you want to attract.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that psychedelic people were attractive people. I always thought that psychedelic people were people that were a little bit more in tune with things that, kind of preceded this reality.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to be on drugs. You just have to think that, they were more psychic. They were in tune with the cosmos. They were going beyond, what you see. And
mm-hmm.
And I always thought those troubadours and those people like Sid Barrett and Robin Hitchcock and just different people, I always thought they had a really colorful way of looking at things. And what's really psychedelic to me is looking at the world from a different perspective.
Right.
There's a different point of perspective of looking at everything.
You can reshape reality really, like that. It's just reshaping things.
Yeah, well, it's like you think things are fucked up all around the world, but it might just be right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You might even be attracting that fucked upness to you
mm-hmm.
and not realizing that this other person is experiencing the most incredible moment of their life. People who are experiencing a gigantic tsunami or tidal wave, at their moment, they're thinking that's the end of the whole entire world,
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's just in reality. It's,
and we're watching it on TV.
Right. Yep.
All right. So,
I think that's why. I think psychedelic music to me was just a better vehicle for me to express more artistically the thoughts, the ideas, the inspiration, the things that I had in my mind with the people I felt were more in tune to it and, to me, more attractive.
Right, very good. I have three more questions, and then I know this is taking a long time. If you could create sort of a hybrid superhuman using the DNA of any three people, dead or alive, what three people would you pick?
Well, one of the hybrid humans would have to be my friend Tom, because he's just a fearless human, and I really believe he can do anything because he just doesn't think about it. So I believe that I'd have to take some of his DNA and fuse it with Syd Barrett. Okay, so now you got this fearless Syd Barrett guy, and you got Syd Barrett's hair and his look. So now you got this really non-agoraphobic dude who looks like Syd Barrett, and he can do anything. And then you got, let's see, the trippiness of my mom. There we go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be my friend Tom, Syd Barrett, and my mom. That'd be an interesting person. I like that.
All right, good answer. You're the first person who's included their mother. And that's a good thing.
Well, I love my mom, so.
Let it be known, Andrew loves his mom. That's great. All right, so now tell me, where can people get their hands on Pink Snowflakes?
Well, that's the funny thing, is in all of this artistic creativeness and all this getting this band going and this new emergence of my confidence in trying to get this thing off the ground, I am not a good marketer. I am terrible at promoting myself. I'm just awful. So basically, the only way you can really do it is for now, until we get ourselves a manager, an agent, or somebody else does it. You either have to see us at a show, or you can go to our MySpace, the Pink Snowflakes. And I have CDs there for sale on PayPal, and also iTunes. And if you can't get through any of that, or you can't get it, you can just write to me through MySpace, and then I'll sort the whole thing out. So all I can say is I'm sorry, but we have this album coming out that we're actually going to really take the time to find distribution for it, and we really want to put this out. We really want to get this out there. We even want to find a label for it and everything. We're considering it our first album, because mm-hmm. it's with the only lineup that I've had that have actually stuck and with, you know, recorded the whole album, is going to play on it, is going to physically be there through mm-hmm. the whole process, and, you know, so I consider that a first album. All the other little things that I've done, I did a demo that had the Icicle Princess, which was a totally different lineup. I did this little EP thing. And, you know, over that whole time, I could have been putting out all this extra music. So I have all this music in my head and stuff that I just slowly start trickling out. And it's only because I just don't want to be one of those people that have, like, 80 CDs on CD Baby or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that's kind of ridiculous. You know, no one's going to hear it. So... I kind of save my songs for when I feel the time is right, and then I try to, you know, get them out there. And I promise I'm going to do better at, you know, at promoting ourselves and stuff. I think the big thing is we're playing shows.
Right.
And that's the big part.
That's the biggest part.
And get our CDs that way. We're going to actually try to go on tour in January. We're going to go down all the way down to San Diego.
Oh, great. Good. We'll have to catch
and, And I think it'll be easier to get our stuff, you know, once we know exactly how we're going to map out, you know, what we're going to do with this album and everything. We really want to find a label for it, and if we can't, we're just going to find a, you know, some distribution for it, and, you know, try to get it out there the best we can. But the best way is just to get a hold of us through MySpace, or booking the Pink Snowflakes at Gmail, I have a home address too, but I think it'd be better just go through the internet first, and then, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't know what kind of crazy stalkers listen to our podcast, but yeah.
But yeah, I wish I was more on the ball, and I think I'm going to get there. And I'm learning how to do that. Mind you, this is the only and first band I've ever been in. It's my own band. So I'm just trying to figure it all out myself, how to, you know, get your stuff out there and stuff like that, you know. And I just find bands like, you know, once again, The Flaming Lips, very inspiring to me because I got, you know, you see how they did it. You know,
right.
They did it the hard way, man. They did it totally the hard way when they were younger, and I thought that was great.
And it's that they kept showing up.
Yeah. They kept showing up until you were just like, okay, we got to give you guys a show,
yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But they were also totally badass, you know. They,
uh-huh.
They were just, yeah, I can't imagine how anyone would say, you guys suck, you know.
No. Well, I'm sure it happened.
yeah, I know. I just can't imagine like what people thought when that motorcycle was in the, you know, on the stage and they're revving that thing up. First thing in my mind is I'm thinking, you know,
I'm gonna die from the exhaust fumes.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but like who let it, you know, who gave him permission to put that in there, and then also how many people were out in the audience? Like, was it a packed house? Was it maybe 30 people? Was it, you know? I'm just trying to figure this out. It'd just be hilarious just to see what the real outcome was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right, last question. I have all of my interviewees give me their best pirate impression. Will you do that for me?
Oh, of course.
That was perfect.
That just came right out of me. That was,
I know. You didn't even have to think about it.
That was my inner pirate.
Thank you, Andrew. Do you have any last words?
All I can say is you know, have a groovy life, and you know, hopefully you guys will catch the pink snowflakes at some form or another, some lineup or another, depending. You know, we'll be out there somewhere.
Bows and free.